Welcome to the Moonalogue Sessions by Quirky Voices. We're excited to share with you today some monologues inspired by the moon landings of 50 years ago today. And none of this program would be possible without the amazing Patreons for Quirky Voices. So, Alma, Artist Soapbox, Audio Oblivious Productions, Chan Bramwell, Christine, Hazel, Kareem, Karen, Kirsty, Matthew, Michael, Paul, and William. This is for you. For you are legend. Enjoy. Oh, and this awesome music is by Kahlo Zahn. Also legend. Enjoy!
Welcome to the Moonalogues, Part 2.
Bring back our night. Bring back our darkness.
Whoa. Is that real?
Love that. You should be a president, Fiona.
President?
Seriously, you're a natural.
She'd ruin everything.
Oh.
President of a very tiny planet, maybe. I'd love that. I promise to do only nice things and obviously not abuse my power in any way or invade places or do anything bad.
Oh, we're losing the signal.
I cut her off.
Well, that was so good. We're going even faster now. And just to update you on our progress, listener, we have now slingshotted round the Earth enough to start towards the moon in 3, 2, 1.
Bye, you three. Have fun.
I was joking about cutting her off, but I have now.
Please shut up. That was nice. Fiona's amazing.
It was. We should give her 5 billion stars for that performance.
Yes. A review. A rating. Yes. Actually, talking of which, the lovely J. Christian Ellett of Good Point Podcasts written this truly fun review of an imagined trip to the moon.
Ooh. Ooh, let's hear it. I'll make us some coffee. Strong, weak, or medium.
I'll have mine as black as Nougat's knocker.
Right. Superb. And good luck with making coffee in no gravity, Tanya. Oh, dear. Oh, I'll read this one, shall I? Okay. So Over the Moon, One Star, by J. Christian Ellett of Good Point Podcast. Narrator, Sarah Golding. Now, let me be clear. I am 100% not exaggerating when I say that my trip to the moon was the absolute worst experience of my entire life. I mean, this whole sheep show started, right, when my family and I first arrived at the Houston Launch Terminal. Parking is 100 credits a day. A day! I mean, that's over a grand for the trip. I mean, you should call yourself space pirates. Once inside, we were subjected to all sorts of lasers and beeping doodads and whatnots and lines. Oh, so many never-ending lines. And we finally got past security to find out more great news. We've been delayed for 4 hours. Oh, because of a solar flare. A solar flare? Ridiculous. The trip itself was, for the most part, uneventful. My daughter woke me up mid-flight complaining that the Wi-Fi was non-functional, which is weird, because I remember paying an extra 25 credits for continuous Wi-Fi. If I paid for a service with continuous in the name, I expect it to always be available. My daughter had planned to binge the new season of Gilmore Girls, but due to the collective incompetence of your entire organisation, she was forced to stare blankly out the window for hours as we approached the lunar surface. Boring! Once we got to the resort, if you can even call it that. We were informed that our luggage had been misplaced. How does that even happen? All you have to do is get 3 suitcases from Earth to the moon without losing them. I mean, what's so hard about that? It's not like it's rocket science. Then the actual vacation begins, and we quickly find out that there was nothing to do on the moon. So, let me describe the moon for you in 3 words. Boring. Boring. And dumb. Interested in local lunar cuisine? It's chicken nuggets. I didn't come all the way to the moon to eat some chicken nuggets, the same ones I eat in my car on my lunch break on Earth. I mean, the moon pies, however, weren't half bad, but it's the best endorsement you can get is not half bad. That tells you everything you need to know about moon food, isn't it? What's with the entire kitchen staff having moustaches? Hmm? Is that some sort of moon kitchen requirement or uniform? I mean, once you notice the consistency, it's unsettling to say the least. See, the moon tourism ads all said it was our home away from home or something like, experience the romantic isolation of the moon. But guess what? There are so many people here. Everywhere we go, there's a long line of ugly, dumb tourists and dogs. Oh, so many dogs. If you think dogs howl at the moon, you should hear them howl when they're actually on the moon. My wife, she signed us up for the Dark Side Morning Hike, but if you ask me, you should call it the Dark Side Morning Hype, because I didn't see what the big deal was. But the view was hardly impressive. Other reviewers on here said they'd had a life-changing experience which caused them to reevaluate their place in the universe. But all I saw was a cluster of stars and lights. And all I could think was, after a 4-hour hike, this is it. The stars looked fake. Nothing at all like the pictures or videos I'd seen online or on TV, no. My trip to the moon was a complete waste of time and money. I was really excited prior to my trip, but I doubt I will ever go back. I am so over the moon. 1 star.
Ooh, that was great. I probably wouldn't want to go back either if that was me. Just like I won't try to make coffee again in zero gravity. Not very smart.
Yeah, probably best. I see you've got some all over your spacesuit. And do you know, it looks like you've made a map of the Hawaiian Islands on your Amelia podcast t-shirt. Mahalo. You can maybe suck that out. You don't want to waste it. Oh, wait. It's disappeared. Out on brand. So, yeah, 1 star. Yeah, that often means you've made it, though, doesn't it, in some people's eyes, doesn't it? You've made enough of a splash for people to notice your work, at least.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone will review our live podcast?
I hope so. It's the nice thing to do.
I have heard, actually, that every time you don't leave a podcast review and you've listened to something, a teeny tiny creature you love dies in a horrible way.
So folks should definitely leave
definitely,
a review.
Definitely, definitely. Yes. Save the teeny tiny creatures we love.
Probably just better to leave an awesome review and save all the animals, right?
Exactly. Talking of which, here's one of the monologues that sounded like it could be narrated by Twinkle Toes himself.
He really sounds like Kareem Crumpley, huh?
Yeah. Well, when he's playing a badass, yeah. Doesn't make Twinkle Toes there any less creepy. I mean, did you hear Kareem in Diary of a Madman?
Ugh, freaky stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this one. Well, this one's about the folks that first went there, the pioneers, the builders. Yeah. Do you know, I do think that one day we will colonise that moon, won't we?
Yep.
Can you say the word with me? Colonise, colonise, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, I'd like to imagine there's, like, you know, hot tubs and moon rocks and slip and slides on the crater's edge and moon bars. Oh, I'd love a holiday there in that kind of environment, wouldn't you?
Yep. Cheers, man. Cheers.
Wow. What a view. What a beautiful, beautiful view. I'm here. I am. I'm here on the moon. on the moon as a pioneer. And I feel true silence, true peace, making such a deafening noise in me. I can hear my heart. I can hear my blood. Blood is life. I look around me at the nothing and the weird light, and I am raw, scared, a scared man. I feel bare, stark, like the moon-faced rocks, the actual moon rocks I stand on. I feel their cold core, and they emit nothing. I stand. I think. I am. I emit life. The only life for thousands of miles. I'm here. Who am I? I am man on the moon. In the moon. No, on. On the moon. This. This is what momentous is. This. This is my... This is my pinnacle, my life's... I feel raw, reborn. As I hear my breath, as I taste my spit, as I touch my fingers in my gloves, I can see our beautiful Earth, and Earth can see the moon, but it can't see me. Not me, truly. Not scared me, in my named spacesuit and rugged dust-fettered boots, clutching sample bags and tools and wishing I could take this damn helmet off. I heard the Hostile Worlds podcast episode as to what would happen if I took my helmet off. I don't want to do that. No. But if... Oh, if I could breathe out into this moonscape... Oh, I'm here. I am. 'Cause people. People know I'm here, don't they? Yes. People celebrate I am. People. People are thinking of me here, and I'm thinking of them over there. But they know me. But I don't. I don't know them. It took a lot to get here. I was built on that. On what it took. Fitness, mental health, agility, resilience, problem-solving, decision-making, leadership. I should have been the leader. I felt it. Strive. I strove. Is that a word? No. But I feel a strange pressure on me. Physically and otherwise. This moment, this, now this, right now, the peace, the still, it makes me hear my thoughts, my inner thinking thoughts, 'cause I could die here, I could just take my helmet off and... Oh, but the view. Others wanted my place to be here, were strong and fit and agile enough, but one by one they fell away, and I'm here. By right, by hard work, by grit and spit and by wanting to see this view. Oh. Hold it forever in your mind's eye. I can. I can cover the whole Earth with the tip of my thumb. All of humanity under me. Just stuff about. Out of existence, out of sight. Out of... No. I'm here. And you're not. It feels like... death. What a privilege it is to be one of the few to walk on the moon before they send the tourists. To start a colony. To be a pioneer. Pioneers for space package holidays for all, they said. Beats working Bognor, I suppose. Though, I do like to be beside the seaside. I look at my footprints, here, now, in the moon dust, and think, wow. These will be here long after I'm gone from any planet's atmosphere. My mark. My legacy in a bootprint. Builder of generations. Can I stay here? Could I? Can I build a house for me and mine with a porch and a swinging chair and look out into the dark void at our peaceful earth and maybe even a fine shrubbery? The house on the moon with shrubbery, only 6.5 gazillion pounds, comes with astronaut lodger Victor Smith. What a guy. A pioneer. I mean, it's amazing to think what man has dreamed of. What's that? Something smashed from... Whoa! What is that looming? Just a glint, but coming closer. Closer. Oh, some kind of comet or no, a bunch of asteroids? Oh, asteroids, cripes. Oh, they're coming quickly, too quick. Oh, I don't know where to go, where to hide. A big rock, shelter, here. Debris. I can't, no. Dust and rock, dust. We didn't get that in training. Up you get, Victor. Up you get. But... oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. No. A hole in my suit. No. Oh, no. Okay, breathe. For a moment. No time to get back to the lander. Too big to mend. Oh. No time. Oh no. Oh no. Maybe I'll just... Here I am. What a beautiful, beautiful view.
Hello, world. I see you. I see you. I am here. Here I.
I was a bit sad.
Well, you wrote it.
Yeah, there should be a full season that, doesn't it, really? Well, yeah, I wrote one more and all, because, you know, when we colonize the moon, and I do think we will, you know, for one reason or another. I mean, it'd be the best writer's retreat ever, right? Let's all go. I mean, no lawnmowers for a start.
Lots of dust on the moon. That be external hoovers instead.
Oh, man, you had to spoil it, didn't you?
Hoovers.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, what the first people would have thought when they got there, you know.
Will
yeah,
think.
And would have felt.
Will yeah, feel.
And being new colonists. Yeah, moving in day. I mean, we all love that, right? When, you know, moving house to a moon house, all mod cons and that on the moon.
Cool. Well, let's hear it, because we're slowing down again.
Okay. All right, wait. Can you, do you want to sing an intro? No.
So, here is solar flare. Siren, Patrice on the moon.
It's beautiful, thank you. Solar flare siren, written and narrated by Sarah Golding. Patrice. So, here we are. This beautiful moon cut house is my lovely new moon house for the rest of my days. Oh. Oh, I could have worked harder with the street names, though. 4291 Lunar Eyes, Olympus Mons, Underdome 369. I could kiss it, but I won't. That would be weird. Now, how do I get in? I guess breathe that freshly made dome air into the breath scan. Handprint. I stand. Just like the films, and it works! Yay! Technology! Yay, travelling 384,000 miles, and I carry myself over the threshold. I'm in. Whoop! Oh God, what is that alert for? Hello, house. What is that alert for? Is that a burglar alarm? Surely not. I don't know where to find the console. Hello? House? Moon house? Lunar rise? Where's the console? Oh, what a noise. Okay, but what does it mean? What do I have to do? Do I have to go somewhere else? Oh my God, I haven't even been told what to do when there's a solar flare, and I don't even know if there's a welcome to your new house tech guide. It's all bare surfaces and no furniture. Oh, what do I do? Oh my God. Solar flare alert. I don't know what to do. Oh, could I die? Could I die if I... Do I just stay inside? Do I get under the table? What stops rays? Solar rays. Sunglasses. Right. Check. Knew I'd need them here. Daps, you were wrong. And... here's the sunscreen. Yeah, and maybe I'll just pop the sunscreen all over me and go sit under the dining table. I mean, my goodness, looks like it could repel anything that, what's it made of? Obsidian or something? Or, no? No, wait, that's good old-fashioned moon rock. Painted moon rock. Yeah, it's cute, that. Yeah, how long do these alert things last? I mean, how long could I last under a table with minimal rations? I mean, do I take my Kindle, my hot box, my pillow? Maybe if I just shut all the curtains. They're not curtains. They're projections. Oh, neat. Then are the windows projections too? Oh my God, they are. It's just a... just a box house on the moon. Wow. These moon colony houses were so close together anyways. I guess if I shouted enough, I could get the attention of my neighbour. But maybe they've just moved in too, huh? Maybe they don't know anything either. Maybe they're just saying the same things I am in their box of a moon house and... Oh, cold walls. Moon rock walls. Weird. I'm touching the moon. I wonder how long that'd be exciting for. Oh, now what if it's not a solar flare siren? Even though it said it was, maybe it's like a bluff, a secret signal that something else is happening. What if it's a nuclear warhead heading for the moon? Or imagine that. Just got here after 4 days of travel and there's a bleeding war on. Oh, take that, Alanis Morissette. I mean, where would I go? Probably under the dining table, I guess. I hope Dax and the kids got on the following ship okay, though. Such a nuisance we couldn't all come together. I mean, you never can book in all at once for these things, eh? Stupid credit system. House husbands lower on the list than school teachers or nurses. Crazy. Well, maybe progress. Well, we dreamed of living on the moon, and here we are. Well, I am, so far, on my own, in a box. A cold stone box made of cold moon rock. Maybe I will take a chance and glance out the window. The door. I can open the door, can't I? That was real, right? Oi, what is it? Oh, yeah. Breath. Handprint.
I hope her family turned up after that.
Probably.
Unless the solar flare killed them. Yeah.
Oh, you are brightness and light, aren't you?
Oh my god. I just thought, are we protected from solar flares in here? I mean, it's just a bunch of old junk. Your Jaws blanket, a few throws, our old kit. Oh god. Are we getting radiation sickness? Could Nabu lose his hair? Will we die?
Yes.
Shush, you. What Twinkletoes means is eventually we all do, Tanya. And yes, I guess we are getting just a little more radiation out here than we would at your house, maybe, or mine. But, you know, we wanted to go to the moon, so get to the moon we shall. Let's turn out the booster rocket, shall we? Just get there a bit quicker, you know.
Booster rockets? You mean plug in the 6 toasters stuck to the back of this VA tech hodgepodge here?
Fire up the lawnmower.
Oh, no. No. No, we didn't bring the lawnmowers for speed. No. No, we brought them to jettison them into the sun.
Shall we do that now, too, for voice actors everywhere?
Yep. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Blast off, you noisy making summer spring bards.
Yeah, you blastified blur. Come on. Blastified blasting blast of a blast.
Yeah?
I have a lot of pent-up aggression toward lawnmowers.
Well, you know, for once they've done us a favour. They should give us a bit of a boost in about 4 minutes. Yeah, I wonder if I can catch the toast with this robot arm thing. I'm a bit hungry.
We got dog food, beer, and wine. And, like, a fully functioning bar, baby!
Why not? Ice in a slice, too, if you can... catch the lemon.
Gin, vodka, and Kahlua in a glass? With a lid.
Okay, we can call it a dirty moon.
Nice.
Oh, catch it. Catch those dirty moon balls. Is my ice. Is it? Hey! Oh, that's nice, that.
Okay, I'll do the same, I guess. Cheers! Now, we need some culture, don't we? To go with our ever so glorious dirty moon.
Yeah, this is weird, but it's nice.
This monologue is by the amazing, talented writer, award-winning Emily C. Snyder in New York. Shakespeare-inspired...
Oh, hello, Emily!
Ooh, I do love some Willy Shakes.
Calm down, dear. Forsooth, mayhap you've had too much Kahlua caffeine and... I'll bring you some water.
Oh, Nabu, what a good
little doggy. Okay, Tanya, Naboo, are you ready for... The Distance That's Between Us is the Moon by Emily C. A. Schneider. Narrator. It's me, innit?
Yes. Do it, Sarah. Crush it, man. You got this.
Okay. Here we go. The distance that's between us is the moon, waxing, waning, surprising me in sunlight, before drifting into the cloud-covered canopy, just another concrete blemish of the cerulean-spangled sky. Sometimes I think I can catch you in my palm. Shh. Reach out, fingers sunlight spread to clutch you like an opalescent pearl. Pop you perfect in my mouth and let your soft, refracted light spread like cool coral coils throughout my outspread limbs till I fill full to the brim with your restless resplendence, burst to spill the beauty of your splendor like stars upon the sea that sizzle once, flare and fade, cause a little tidal wave, and then recede to slumber. For the distance that's between us is the moon. Most often, though, your heavy eye eclipses me. Wink once, twice, turn your head, and with a sigh, you sink deep, deep beneath the heavy counterpane of earth and loam, toadstool, toad, root, and bug-blind worm. A little rustle of the autumn's disregarded leaves, a puff of woodbine smoke, the last sputterings of something fragile spark between us. Till, with collar turned against the chill you go, a week, a month or more, and then return, with borrowed light, and breath full stinking with some other woman's smoke. For the distance that's between us is the moon. Had I a pair of Icarus wings, I should not fly to thee. I know the contours of your pockmarked cheek, the skeletons and all the secrets that you keep on the dark side of your moon. Your shadow brood are clear as morning light to me. I know there's nothing in the hollow of your weightless, wavering, watery world. No fire burns inside you, oh, as fire burns in me. Had you a pair of Icarus wings, pale feather strapped with glue and wax, with hope and chewing gum and half-remembered stolen dreams. Had you ambition to equal mine? Had you fire on your heels to singe your soul and launch you fast past the airy blanket of the star-strewn sky? For the distance that's between us is the moon. Had you... dared you do more than steal a little sunlight for yourself? Had you braved the sunsparks of my skin, the phoenix and the salamander and all that lies within? Had you dared you slipped once from out your orbit to dance among the galaxies that swirl along my skirt? Braved the burning of your feathers and the melting of your cold, uninhabited concrete heart? Had you, dared you, let me fill your soul with the excess blaze that's reflected coldly in your blue and blinking gaze? Or let my fingertips creep across the airy blanket that marks the place between the sun and moon? Then maybe, but the distance that's between us is the moon, one of millions juggled in my sphere, for love too costly, for sleep too dear, and I too great a shining star to linger longer
How refreshing. I feel terribly cultured now.
Oh, I say, would you like a hobnob?
I've never been so insulted in my life.
No, it's a biscuit. Yeah, other biscuits are also very, very nice, obviously. They're a bit smaller, though. I saw that research. Don't get me started on Jaffa cakes.
Java cakes. We can still do the thing.
Oh, the thing. The thing.
The thing? The thing. Oh, yes, the thing.
Oh, just the thing. The
full moon. Half moon.
Half moon.
Eclipse.
Can I have one?
Please.
Please.
But you're a robot.
Am I?
Shall we just play the next monologue so we can eat the whole packet? Sorry.
Let's.
Yeah.
I used to think the moon was a button sewn to the sky with golden thread. When I was a child, floating in the midnight spill of its light on my counterpane, I'd imagine I belonged to another world, at the back of the moon, this Earth's flipped sister. Everything was otherwise in this night kingdom, where we spoke in language I'd made up by squishing my tongue against my palate. Sometimes I'd speak this language when I was nervous. My brothers teased me ruthlessly for my disgusting habit, until I told them I'd been taught by aliens to speak their tongue. Strangely, this did not help with the teasing. But at night, at the back of the moon, I'd explore the cosmic tundra, no longer the undersized squirt, but a captain of my solar raft. Even today, when I wake in the nocturnal hours, there's a moment when I reach for my oar, for a few seconds believing there are still adventures waiting for me out there in the sea of stars.
I like her.
I love that one. You know, it evokes memories of childhood.
Yes, it was by the amazing Sarah-Mae Toussaint. Hello, Sarah-Mae. You're so amazing and beautiful.
Sarah-Mae Toussaint is amazing.
Aren't all our narrators amazing? And it's so nice to hear Lucy in all her glory.
I like her.
Oh, yeah. See, what I love, though, is that... See, although we're at different ages and different places and...
What, me and you?
Yeah, me and you. Me and everyone, really. Yeah, we were still all born under the same moon, weren't we? And, you know, when you do look up at night, your night and my night, we see the same face, don't we? The face of the moon. I love that.
Me too.
And we'll leave our explorers for a short while to contemplate their very existence on, over, around, and near this Earth until part 3. Coming soon. Do they land on the moon on their chocolatey, dirty moon high? Find out in part 3. Coming soon. In this episode, you heard monologues from J. Christian Ellett, who wrote So Over the Moon, Emily C. Snyder, who wrote The Distance Between Us is the Moon, both narrated by Sarah Golding, as well as Solar Flare, which the Looney wrote herself, as well as writing I Am Here, Here I Am, performed by Kareem Cromley. Sarah-Mae Toussaint provided the wondrous The Back of the Moon, narrated by the also wondrous Lucille Valentine. Sarah-Mae is fundraising for her next Fablegazer show, an extravaganza looking at the amazing work and personality of the Regency romance author, Georgette Heyer. And Sarah Golding has the pleasure of voicing some of Georgette's actual words, and my, was she a feisty soul. She certainly was. Took no nonsense at all. So, find out more on www.fablegazers.wordpress.com. Tune in one final time for episode 3 of the Monologue Sessions, soon. Thank you to all the narrators and writers, and of course, to the amazing Tanya Milojevic. If you like this show, find out more about Quirky Voices at quirkyvoices@gmail.com.
or ping us a message on Twitter @QuirkyVoices. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.